Mark chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. Let us pay attention to God's holy word with reverence. He went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter's son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, and among his relatives, and in his own household. And he could not do mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching." We stop there. May God bless the reading of his holy word to each one of us. And to his name be praised, glory and honor forever and ever. We pray and ask the Lord to bless us before we begin. Father in heaven, speak, we pray, to each one of us. This is your word, the word of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. And so we pray that we'll be fed tonight, that we may live unto you. Be merciful to each one of us, and forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Jesus is rejected here by his own. And that's, if you want to put a title to this message, it will be rejected by his own. Rejected by his own. And of course that should bring so much echo in your mind about what scripture says about Christ in other places. And we'll be looking at a few of those places. But here the story begins. Christ went away from there. He had just healed the daughter of Jairus, this 12-year girl who had died. He spoke his word. She lived. And then he leaves this place. He went away from there and he went back to his hometown. You know, it was time to go and perhaps reunite with his family and do some ministry there as well. But the response that he receives is most surprising. And we'll look at how the people of his hometown responded when they saw Christ in the synagogue on the Sabbath teaching. It was Christ's custom every Sabbath day to go to the house of the Lord. David writes, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" And this was most certainly true of Christ, that each day he would get up on the Sabbath day and his mind would be, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And he would go to the house of the Lord frequently. And as a teacher, as a rabbi, as a man of God, he would often teach that was part of his ministry here on earth. And so on this one Sabbath, on this specific Sabbath, Jesus, verse 2 says, on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. That is the first response that we see coming from the people who heard Jesus. They were astonished, or we could say they were amazed. And why were they amazed? Look at verse 2. Many who heard him were astonished or amazed, and this is what they say: "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? Where did this man get these things? And what is the wisdom given to him?" This is not the first time that Christ received such a response to his teaching. If you go back to Matthew chapter 5, and you read the Sermon on the Mountain, the people were amazed because he taught not like this, the Pharisees and the scribes, but he taught as one with authority. Also in the Gospel of Mark, at the very beginning, in chapter 1, verse 22, we find these words, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes." This is Mark 1, verse 22. And so there was something unique about the teaching of Christ, that it was so amazing, so different from everything that they had been used to hearing. And so, rightly, they were amazed. And I wonder if we have been amazed. Are you amazed at the teachings of Christ? With what authority he teaches? With what wisdom he teaches? Have you read the Gospels? And have you seen Christ teaching? Have you sat under the feet of Christ and listened to him teach? Are you amazed? What is your response? I think all of us ought to be amazed at the marvelous thing that Christ teaches, and the thing that we see Christ doing, especially as recorded for us in the Gospels. These people, rightly, they were amazed. And we should commend them for that. Because there's, as I pointed out already, much that should amaze us at Christ and his teaching. But look at the second response. It's in verse 3. They begin to ask this question. "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon?" What are they doing? They are amazed in verse 2, and then in verse 3 they are despising him. So their amazement was really, we could say, just on the surface. "Oh, wow, what a great teacher." And then they just walk away from that. Without really thinking about what it is that he had been teaching them. Without thinking about the content of his preaching and his teaching. And many of us need to examine our own practices. We go to church every week and we go to conferences. We hear great speakers preaching the word of God and we go like, "Whoa, what a great preacher." And then the next thing, we turn away from that. We don't even take a moment to think about what it is that they were teaching. That doesn't do anything good for our souls. It doesn't nourish us. It doesn't help us to become more like Christ. And so these men, these people here, they were amazed in verse 2, and in verse 3 they are despising Jesus. And this is what they say: "Is not this a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" That's what they say. Who does he think he is? Who is this man? Where does he come from? What authority does he really have? In a sense, implied in this question perhaps is they are questioning his own authority. As much as they are amazed by it, they are also questioning, "Who is this man? We've seen this man grow up. He's just a carpenter. When did he go to seminary to learn how to preach and how to teach? Who gave him this authority?" Why did they respond like this? Because they really didn't have a clue. They didn't really understand who Jesus really was. They saw him as a carpenter and nothing more. They saw him as the son of Mary and nothing more. They saw, well, his brothers and sisters. And they thought, "Oh, we can't expect much from him." And they were despising him, putting him down. And this is not the only time this has happened. Jesus Christ, even his own family, they often didn't believe him in the beginning of his ministry. I think it's in chapter 3 where we see them talking about Christ and say he's out of his mind. Right? In verse 20 of chapter 3, "Then he went home and the crowd gathered again so that he could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he's out of his mind." So, In one sense, we shouldn't be too surprised that the people around didn't think much of him. Because his own family really didn't think much of him. They often thought he was crazy. They didn't believe him initially. But they didn't realize these people, that this right standing right in front of them was the very Son of God incarnate, God in the flesh. And so we see here, they were amazed in verse 2, and in verse 3 they're despising him. And then the third response is also recorded for us in the same verse, verse 3 towards the end. If you look closely towards the end, and they took offense at him. They were offended by him. At first they are amazed at him, and then they are despising him, and then they are offended by what he said. And here we need to linger a little bit, because there is something I think instructive for us in this. Christ, the Son of God, was despised, he was rejected by his own, and people were offended by him and by his teaching. And for us, as the people of God, as the church of Jesus Christ in this day and age, we ought to remember that as long as we hold on to the truth claims of Christ, the claims of Christ upon our lives and upon the world, we will be despised, and we are going to offend many people. Many people will take offense at us, especially at the gospel that we preach, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is offensive. The gospel of Christ is an offense in itself. That's why Paul writes that it is a stumbling block to the Jews, and it is foolishness to the Gentiles. Humanly speaking, there is nothing attractive in the gospel without the power of God working in us, without the Holy Spirit opening the eyes of the blind. The gospel is offensive at the very least. Is unattractive. And the reason is because it exposes our sin. It exposes our sinfulness and shows us that we are under the just wrath of God. That all of mankind born in this world, every man, every woman, is under the just wrath of God. Sin, which has entered into the world by the sin of Adam, our first parent, has corrupted all of humanity. And the gospel, on one hand, shows us our sin, our failures, how far we have fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus Christ and his teaching confronts our sins. It confronts us in our complacency. Many of these people were Jews. They would have known the word of God. But they had become so complacent in their religion that when Christ came and began to teach with authority and began to call them to trust in him, they took offense at that. This tragic thing that has happened in the church today, and I have in view specifically the Western church, the church in North America, is that we have blunted the edge, the sharp edge of the gospel. We're trying to make it smooth and palatable. It's like, as someone has said, a candy coated gospel that we are preaching, because we don't want to offend people. Others have called it the Christless Christianity. It's a Christianity that is without Christ, that makes little of Christ, does not focus on Christ, because People are going to be offended if we talk much about Christ. And so we, in a quest to be accepted, in a quest to not offend people, we have blunted our sword as Christians. And we are now trying to fit into the culture, to look like the culture. We are looking for acceptance. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. But is that really what the Lord expects of us? If the gospel is going to offend, we must still preach it. Because it is the gospel alone, which is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And in our own lives and practices as individual Christians, we need to examine our own lives and ask ourselves, have I blunted my testimony, the sharpness of the gospel testimony, the gospel witness in my own life? Am I just trying to fit into the culture so I can be accepted and not cause offense to my neighbor perhaps, or to the people that I work with, to my friends? Are we trying to fit in? There are many ways we try to do that. We laugh at their jokes that make little of Christ, the ungodly. We do things that corrupt our testimony. And yet we need to remember that for us as a Christian, if we would please God, we must be willing to live with the consequences. If people despise us for following Christ, so be it. If we cause offense to anyone because we have spoken the word of truth, that's it. Christ was the first one. And Christ is our example. He goes before us. We follow Him. And here, we see these people not really appreciating who Christ was and what He was teaching. His own people, they reject Him. And if they rejected Christ, they're going to reject us. And this, however, was in fulfillment of a prophecy that was made many, many years ago. We read in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. Let's look there. We read there of the servant, the suffering servant, Christ. In verse 3, He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men would hide their faces, He was despised and we esteemed Him not. This for Christ was not surprising. It was a fulfillment of the will of God, which had been prophesied long before He came on the scene. So Christ was despised. In fulfillment of this prophecy, He was rejected by men. He was truly the man of sorrows, one who was acquainted with grief. And this last part of verse 3 in Isaiah chapter 53, He says, as one from whom men would hide their faces, He was despised and we esteemed Him not. I mean, think about it. Suppose you go to a party, a friend's house, they've invited you for a party, and the moment you walk in, everybody is turning their faces away. They don't even want to look at you. How would you feel? But this was Christ. As one from whom men would hide their faces, He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. What was the result then? Now we'll look at the result. What was the result of these people's response to Christ? They were amazed. They despised Him. They were offended. What was the result? They lost out. They lost out on the blessings of Christ. Because we read there, Christ, as He responds to them, He says, A prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown, among his relatives and his own household. And verse 5, he could not do mighty work there. He could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled at their unbelief. So they lost out. Christ could not do many mighty works there. He walked away. They rejected him. They despised him. And they lost out on the blessings that he could have given them. How sad it is. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. John records that for us in John 1 verse 11. He came to his own people did not receive him. But this is what he says in verse 12. But to those who believed him, those who accepted him and believed in him, to them he has given the power to be called the children of God. And so the ones who accept Christ as he is and all that he teaches us and believe on him are the ones who truly get the blessing from Christ. If you're offended of Christ, it is you who's going to lose out, not Christ. Sadly, that it was his own people who rejected him. And it must have been, the pain must have been so deep. It's one thing to be rejected by people who are from out there. It's another thing to be rejected by your own people, your own family. It hurts more when you face that kind of rejection. So they lost out. And Jesus left that region. He healed a few sick people, but he couldn't do many mighty works there. And verse 6 gives us a clue, just a little bit of a view in how Christ responded to this. As these people were despising him and rejecting him and being offended at him, in verse 6, and he marveled at their unbelief. Jesus marveled at their unbelief. There's one other passage in the Gospels where we read of Christ marveling at something. Let's look at Luke chapter 7 and verse 9. This is a story of the centurion and his servant. The centurion had heard of Christ, and his servant, the servant of the centurion, was sick to the point of death. And this servant was very valued, very precious to this man. And verse 3 says, when the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, he is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built our synagogue. And Jesus went out with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servants, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. So, in Luke chapter 7, Jesus is marveling at how much faith is shown there. How much belief this man had. He said, in all of Israel, I've never found such faith. Here, he's marveling at their unbelief. You see the contrast? Christ is marveling at the unbelief. And they're probably thinking, how can these people miss it? Salvation is so close to them. The word of God is right in front of them. The kingdom of God is right here. I am the king of the kingdom. And they have missed it. How can that be? He marveled at their unbelief. Which tells us that going to church alone, growing up in the church and knowing the word of God alone is not sufficient, is not enough. If we also do not respond to that word with faith, if we do not respond to Christ by faith, that doesn't do any good for us. The question is not whether you've been exposed to Christ, but what have you done with Christ? Have you responded to Christ in faith? These people did not. And Christ marveled at their unbelief. He came to his own. His own did not receive him. But John says, to them who have received him, them who have put their faith in him, to them he's given the power to be called the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. And I hope that each one of us can say, I believe in Jesus. I'm not offended at his word. I love him because he loved me and gave himself for me. Because he was rejected in my place. He was rejected so that I may be accepted by God. He was despised so that I could know life and acceptance in Jesus Christ before the Father who is in heaven. Let us pray. Lord, our faith is often weak, but we pray that you may strengthen our faith by revealing more and more of Christ to us, that as we see him in all his fullness and his glory, we may bow down and worship him as our Lord and our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.